All right, this is just a quick announcement. We want to remind you that for the next 2 weeks, for June 21st on Father's Day and for June 28th, we will continue to be meeting in the church, and we're asking everyone to wear a mask, and we're asking everyone to stay 6 feet apart. And so we want to encourage you to, if you feel comfortable, to come and to join us. But after those, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be making a change. And I want to show you what that change is going to be. We are going to, starting the first Sunday in July, through the rest of the month, we are going to be meeting right here in the church parking lot. And we are going to be using this space right behind me, from the poles over to the grass. And we are going to use that space to praise the Lord together. And so our worship center will be right out here. And so unless it's raining, we will be meeting out here. We're still asking people to keep 6 feet of distance, but masks are not required. They're optional. If you'd like to wear them, you can. You don't have to, though. And we're encouraging you to bring your own chairs. Bring your lawn chairs, whatever makes you comfortable. Come on in and just set up anywhere where you feel comfortable, and we will have chairs available if you don't have chairs or don't want to bring chairs, or if you're really uncomfortable and you want to just park your cars along the poles and just roll down your window and listen, then we invite you to do that too. And so we're excited about this new thing, and so for the whole month of July we'll be meeting out here together. We will have bulletins with the music on it so we can all sing together, and we're just going to enjoy a wonderful service outside. So that's our plan for the month of July. If you have questions, please contact us. And if we do end up moving back inside because of the rain, if it does rain during July, our old rules will still apply. So masks will still be required. And so we'll still be keeping our 6 foot distance. And so just keep that in mind. But we hope that you're excited about this. We're excited about it. Be praying. Be praying that the Lord draws more people out and that we worship with one voice together, praising our one God and the one faith and the one baptism that we share in Jesus Christ. Hope that encourages you. Hi, everybody. It's good to be able to give you another video. I wanted us to take a moment and to dive back into Mark. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, starting in verse 13, there's this interesting little story that's often misunderstood. And I want us just to take a second and walk through it again. And specifically thinking about the idea of the necessity of humility in the life, not only of a new believer, someone who gets saved, but also someone who wishes and desires to grow, someone who wants to be mature in their faith. It says this: people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, I want us to look at these four verses, and I have 4 points that I'm going to make, and they all start with a C, all right? So I'm kind of proud of this, all right? Let's see if you can follow with me. The first is, there's a conflict in verse 13. Again, it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, when it says that people were bringing little children to Jesus, it's important for us to understand that this term children is actually a little bit difficult for us to translate. Most people, especially if you read this story in like a children's book, see mothers carrying their infant child to Jesus. But we have to be careful for two reasons. One, because the term is used in the masculine, meaning that it's most likely that these children were brought by men, by their fathers, not their mothers, to Jesus. Second is that this term can mean any child between the age of infancy to 14 years old. That's a huge gap. In fact, the only other time that Mark uses this term in the entire gospel that he gives us is in chapter 5, when he refers to a girl who's not an infant, but 12 years old. So we have to hold in our minds that we're not just talking about moms bringing small children, that there's a bigger swath here that's being described. It's not as specific as sometimes we try to make it out to. And then it says, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, Mark tells us that the disciples here rebuke, which is an interesting word here. And this term is used three times by Mark to speak of the way that Jesus spoke to or treated evil spirits. So the way in which the disciples viewed these people bringing these little children or these little children themselves, the way that they were rebuked is the same way, the same reaction that Jesus had to demons. All right? Now the term here, that term in particular, rebuked, helps us see why the disciples didn't want these children brought to Jesus. To them, these kids were not simply just unwelcome. They were without value. They did not deserve the master's time. They were unworthy. So first we have this conflict. And then we have a confession in verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Now, it is worth noting that this is the only time in any of the Gospels that this word is used to describe Jesus. Some think of when Jesus is in the temple and he's turning the tables over. No. This is the most heated that Jesus got. In this instance, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Now, most people believe that Jesus is talking about certain characteristics of children, like the kingdom of God only belongs to those who have innocence or humility or truthfulness. The problem with this is that not all children share these circumstances, these characteristics, I should say. And since Mark has used a term that could mean a child from infancy to age 14, it seems very unlikely that he's speaking of the fact that anyone who wants to enter the kingdom of God must be innocent or honest or as humble as a child to be saved. The main point of comparison is focused not on the disciples' attitude. Maybe I should say the main point is not focused so much on the children as it is on the disciples. There we go. From the disciples' perspective, the children were without value. They didn't deserve Jesus' time, attention, or blessing. And I think that actually is the point. That is why Jesus emphasizes them. Jesus is not looking at the kids when he says this. When he says, "the let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these," he's not looking at the kids. He's looking at his disciples. And he's trying to make this very important point about the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is for, it's explicitly for the weak and the helpless. The kingdom of God is not ours for those who have believed because we have earned it in any way, shape, or form, which should eliminate all pride in us. But the only reason we have it is because God determined to give it to us. It was by grace that we are saved. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done," anything that we have done, "but because of his own purpose and grace." You see, the kingdom of God belongs to people of no apparent importance because God simply has willed to give it to them in Jesus. Salvation is a gift, and all of God's graces are a gift from God. We can earn nothing from God. Have you ever tried to give a gift to a kid? What I've found is that it is really, really easy to give a gift to a kid. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to make them feel like they've earned it. You can just offer it and they take it. And they're excited about it. There's no pride. There's no politics. There's no debate. They look at the gift and take it with joy. Have you ever tried to give a gift to an adult? Adults hate being helped. They hate to receive. And generally that's because of our pride. My question to you in light of this text is, how willing are you not only to receive the gift of salvation
freely based on the grace of God, not to try to earn it, but to simply receive it. But also, how willing are you to live the rest of your life freely accepting His grace through all of life's trials, knowing that you will continue in Him. You will continue in faith. You will grow in faith. You will grow in godliness and holiness, not because of your strength, but His grace and blessing. Do you lean into Him with joy, or do you consistently try to earn your salvation or to earn God's further blessing in your life? There is a reason that Scripture tells us that God opposes the proud, because the proud don't trust Him. The proud don't rely upon Him. We as Christians need to remember that we need God's grace, not just to be saved, but also to continue in our salvation, to grow in godliness and love and in faith. We are constantly, daily dependent upon His graces. And that should not make us anxious, but cause us to rejoice in the fullness of His graces, the fullness of His blessings, which are new every morning. Will you trust in His love and His provision for you, or are you constantly trying to prove yourself to Him? Are you sure and grounded in His love for you in Christ alone? Well, then next we get a clarification. In verse 15, he says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Now notice that we are not talking about children anymore. We're talking about anyone. And for anyone who deserves to be a part of the beautiful kingdom of God, for anyone who longs to receive the forgiveness of sins and be adopted into the loving family of the Creator God, they must receive, not take, not earn, not work towards, but receive the kingdom of God as a gift by God's grace alone. And they must continue to grow in faith. They must continue to trust and receive from God the graces needed to walk faithfully with Him. They must lean into His grace. Lean into His mercy. Lean into the reality that I don't deserve His love and His grace. But praise Him for it anyway. That I can't earn His love, but that I can still rejoice in it because of Christ. Here, Jesus gives us a clarification that He's not talking about something specific in children, but something that children were considered at this time. Children were considered as worthless, as without power, and that is how we must receive God's grace, especially in salvation. And then we get a confirmation. Verse 16, it says, "He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them." Now the point here is not that Jesus loved little kids. That's not the point that He's making. And it's not the point if you look at this text in the context of where Mark puts it. Now I'm not saying that that's not true. Of course Jesus loves children. The point is, with a wink to His disciples, Jesus not only was willing to touch the worthless, not only was Jesus willing to give time to the undeserving, not only was Jesus willing to hold the ignored, but Jesus, through this touching picture of Him holding these little ones, He doesn't just say, "You know what? Don't keep these kids away from me because I need to just take a second and pray for them." He says, No. I want to make this crystal clear for you. I'm going to stop and I'm going to hold them. Those that you deem as worthless, look how I view them. Jesus, through this picture, reminds us that even though we are unworthy, we are unclean and unfit for the kingdom of God, by His beautiful, boundless grace, purely because of His love, not our merit, Jesus has offered us salvation for free. His love for free. And He continues to offer it to us through our life. And if we are truly His child, then we must learn to lean into His grace. so that we trust in his love, so that we grow more confident in knowing that we are his children. And if we have believed in Jesus by grace, through faith in Jesus alone, then we can rest securely in him. And we can go out fighting faithfully the good fight of faith, knowing that there is no temptation that has seized us except that which is common to man. And God will provide a way out. And God can help us to walk faithfully and righteously. That God can give us the wisdom we need to be holy in this world, to grow, to love him more, to turn from sin. My question and my challenge to you is to consider how much you are leaning into God's grace. Are you constantly trying to prove to yourself that you are worthy of God's love? Or have you accepted it? Because of the work of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God alone, have you believed his word that he loves you, that he values you, that he has a plan for you? And if that is the case, then have you also sought to grow in your love for him and your walk with him by storing up treasures in heaven and seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness above all other things? Have you sought to grow in him, not by your own merit and your own grit and your own strength, but by his grace alone that he promises to provide? Have you gone out into the battle of the world and stood against the wind and trusted that God's grace is sufficient to help you stand, and that his grace is even sufficient to help you if you fall? To get back up, knowing that his love has not changed. This short text illustrates that to me. It reminds me that God's love is founded in the work of Christ. And if I have Christ, I have his love. And if I have his love, then I cannot help but love him. My heart, and my mind, and with all of my actions, more and more as every day goes by until he returns and takes me home. And that should affect my marriage, my parenting, my relationships, my job, my bank account, my calendar, everything. But what greater love has there ever been than the love that he has shown me? I hope that you have his love. I hope that you will lean into his grace and grow in holiness. Talk to you later.